Good evening. We have visitors with us, and we appreciate you being here and hope you'll return whenever it's possible for you to do so. Wish you'd been here this morning. Our evangelist, Doug Roush, who does have a broken leg, was able to speak to us this morning. Life is in the blood, and it was a very fine sermon, and it's posted on our Facebook page, and if you'd like to hear it, it's readily available to you. But thank you for being here. It's good to have the members here. We have members here tonight that were not able to be present this morning, and folks that were here this morning not able to be here this evening. And we'll talk about that in general terms in a moment. This sermon tonight is prepared primarily for the Christians who meet in this place. But if you're visiting and a member of another congregation, you're going to easily be able to make an application to your home congregation, or if you're seeking a congregation, to the one that you ultimately join. This sermon will ask you quite a few questions, different questions, all of which revolve around one main thought. Would you be missed? If you were not present at services, would you be missed? Have you ever missed something? Some of the things I have historically missed are my keys. Oh, I went backwards. My wallet, my phone. And it gets quite frustrating. Happily, Jonathan has found something to put on my phone now, some little tab that, you know, can help me find the keys, and that helps. But it's such a frustration when things are missing. And it's even more important when it's people that are missing. Thankfully, Linda finds most of the things that I lose. I couldn't find my jeans the other day, and they were within 3 or 4 feet of me, and she found them. What would I do without her? I don't want to know. Finally, sometimes the book I'm reading at the moment goes missing. Thankfully, she finds them. Have you ever missed anything? More seriously, in terms of people, the word missing is a serious one. In our society today, we have pictures that appear on milk cartons. We have amber alerts for the missing. We have signs that get posted. We have national centers for the missing. We have special telephone numbers to call when people are missing. We place great effort in finding those who are missing, don't we? Well, what would you say if we took this ideal and moved it from the physical world to the spiritual missing? What kind of impact does it have if you're not here and your presence is missed here? Do you doubt that people are missing you? Are you missing because of weakness, apathy? And your absence, you don't think, will be noticed? As you consider the spiritual application of people missing, think again. Would your seat be where you normally sit, be empty, and somebody notice it? Frankly, every Christian ought to be missed if they're not present. In the 899 weeks, and yes, I maintain a spreadsheet, as you no doubt suspect, that lists what sermons and the attendance and so on. But in the 899 weeks since this congregation first began meeting, there are many people that have been so diligent in being at every service. There are others who, because of illness and family, have valid reasons for not being at services. But regardless, my question would be, what would be the effect if your seat is empty? Would you be missed? In the book of 1 Samuel, chapters 19 to 20, Saul is attempting to have David killed. Thanks to the help of several, he escapes, and with his dear friend Jonathan, Saul's son, David stays safe. As they talk, Jonathan solemnly commits to David that he will let David know what his father Saul plans as harm for David. Jonathan then says, in verse 18 of 1 Samuel 20. Tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. Because of Saul, David will not be in his normal seat. He's going to be missing. And Jonathan plainly says he will be missed. He knows. Saul knows where David sits, and he will notice David's absence. So for a few moments, I ask you to think about your participation in worship to God and consider that simple question, would you be missed? Also consider the thought, your part in the church ought to be filled with faithful activities which would not occur if you were not here. What kind of activities? Well, in a congregation of this size, every person is vitally important. Whether you preach or teach class, sweep the floor, serve the congregation, clean the building, lead us in worship services, or you sit in a pew and you say amen in your thoughts, you participate in the prayer, you participate in the singing, you listen to the sermon, your presence is needed. It's good for you. It builds up each of us that are in the congregation with you. I have a strong opinion as to whether or not you are missed when you're not here. Do you? Let's think about this in some more detail. Are you regularly in your appointed place? To be in your appointed place is just a phrase that carries the idea that we had an appointment to keep and we met it. The very word appointments carries the ideal of responsibilities and requirements. We clearly understand from Hebrews 9:27 that an appointment nobody will miss eventually is one that comes with meeting God at the day of judgment. It is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. To prepare for that appointment, there are things that come first that prepare us for death and judgment. Yes, we have an appointment we are to keep. The first one we need to consider is salvation. Hebrews 5, verses 8 through 10 tells us Christ learned obedience, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Jesus had responsibilities and requirements to meet. He met them. Why? God instructed it. He obeyed God. Will we? Salvation has been made available to all people, and acceptance of the offered salvation is one appointment we best keep. Will we accept it? 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 2 says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God is always ready and willing to save all who will submit to him and be saved on God's terms. Right now, this very day, is when God wants us to accept the appointed salvation if we have not done so. He wants all of us this very day to be in full obedience to him. Are we? There are other appointments that God wants the Christian to keep. One, I think, relates to worship. He wants us to be present and to participate. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Is that the way you feel on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night when we gather together? Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25 says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Proverbs 27:17, Doug mentioned this morning in his lesson, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's a favorite comment of Pax when he's present. How can we sharpen one another if we're not with one another? It takes our being together. It's important that we be together, as you can see. Do you know the Christians with whom you worship? Can you count the number who were not here this morning? Can you count those that are not here this evening? 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, "We Christians are all members of the body of Christ." As Doug explained this morning, just as there are many parts and systems in the body which serve different purposes but unite to complete the person, so the many members of this congregation have many talents that unite to form a congregation that is what it is today. It takes all of us being present in prayer, in song, in Bible study, in worship, to make this congregation grow and be acceptable before God. If you're not here as part of this body of Christians, would you be missed? When I say my prayers and think about the members here, excuse me, I can mentally, yes, I am mental, I guess, I can mentally place, at least by last name, I don't always remember some names of the children, I can place everyone by their location in this congregation as I pray for the members here. You know, we each seem to tend to sit in certain areas, and that makes it easier to remember who is here and who is missing. And by keeping your appointment to be at church, you're helping everyone around you because you're building them up by your presence. By being in your appointed place, you demonstrate your faith. You demonstrate your thankfulness by acknowledging to God that He is the source of every good gift and perfect gift, James 1:17. You demonstrate your need to be strengthened by the Lord. Very importantly, your presence in the assembly allows you to do the very thing Cornelius told Peter he was prepared to do in Acts 10, verse 33, namely to learn what God has commanded us to do. After Cornelius told Peter why he sent to Joppa for him, he says in the latter half of verse 33, "Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have commanded by the Lord." This morning, those in the adult Bible class were studying from the epistles of John. We heard a sermon on life is in the blood. Tonight, we're together singing songs of praise and offering prayers and studying from God's Word, building up one another by our presence together. And if we're not here, what have we missed? We've missed a great deal, haven't we? We assemble to learn more about what God wants us to do. When we're not all present, there are congregational benefits associated with the worship that we miss and encouragement we don't receive. Excuse me. Remembering the word appointment carries the ideal of responsibilities and requirements, I suggest to you that God appoints certain duties for us to fulfill with our families. For example, 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." I believe providing for the family includes spiritual instruction as well as food and clothing and shelter. It includes setting a godly example as parents to our children and to our spouse. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." When you don't keep your appointed role in the family and meet this responsibility, your family leadership is missed, your duties are not fulfilled, and your family does not receive all of the attention, affection, love, and devotion that they deserve. Likewise, if you do not help your family attend services, they'll not receive all the spiritual benefits that the congregational worship offers. Another responsibility that requires us to be in our appointed place, if you will, is that of being a faithful steward. Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 42 through 44 say, "And the Lord said, 'Who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will be put in charge of all his possessions. Excuse me. We have already said that we each have have personal skills and abilities as well as that which God has given us physically. How are you doing in your role as a steward of that which God has given you? Are you using it well? How are you doing in the role you fill in your appointed place at home? How are you doing in your appointed place in the congregation? I would suggest to you that I believe Christians are true friends to each other, and yes, brothers and sisters in Christ who share much in common. The time we spend together is limited, but is an opportunity to demonstrate our love and friendship for one another. So the question is obvious. If your friends are gathered together, would you be missed if you're not there? Sometimes we say we don't have anything in common with this person or that person because we only hear them talk about sports or cars or children or party planning or school issues or this hobby or that, and we're just not interested. So we say we don't have anything in common with them. What we have here is an attitude problem. Instead of focusing on the sports or the children or this hobby or that to evaluate whether or not we have something in common, consider what you share in Christ. Salvation, life, hope, trials, joys, sorrow. As a congregation, we can share that and lift one another up when we're ill and when we're experiencing sorrow. And we can share in those joys that give us such great happiness. Do you love your brethren? Well, God's given us some instruction. In John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. Why? How? If you love have love for one another. Sounds like our morning adult Bible class in the Epistle of John, doesn't it? In this passage, please note the instruction on how the love of God is to abide in us. In 1 John 3:17 and 18, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Yes, let us love in deed and in truth. These verses are instructive. They're thought-provoking. How can you develop this love if you're not with your brethren? Sometimes the key to whether or not you demonstrate love and friendship is that you have to be a friend to have friends. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Have you ever had that type of friend? Christ said in Matthew 7:12, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Be a friend to have friends, and you will be missed when you're not in the assembly. I would ask, are you an encouragement to the church? Have you ever offered encouragement to someone? Have you ever offered to help them through a difficult moment or time in their life? If you did, what did you do? Did you offer them a shoulder to lean on as you helped them bear their burden? Did you offer them some compassionate help? If you had not been there to encourage the person, would your help have been missed? Encouragement can be given in many ways. Notes to one another, thank yous in person, verbally to one another, expressions of gratitude as we've talked about recently. For example, there are also parents here who I admire because they go the extra step after a long day to set a spiritual example for their children and attend services with their children. That's an encouragement to the young. There are those here who are older. James Larry's one of them. I understand I'm gaining age. But there are others who go to great lengths to be present, even though they don't feel good. So, if encouragement's important, what are some ways we can encourage each other in the Lord's body? We can bear the burdens. We can offer passion. We can help rescue the fallen. In Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Jude 22 and 23, and have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. This says to me, we have an obligation to encourage our fellow Christians and to help them. I certainly hope you agree. We encourage one another by being involved with our brethren and developing our own qualities that will encourage them just as they grow and encourage us. Romans 12, verses 10 through 16 read, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one another, toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Pretty impressive group of comments, don't you think, Paul was writing? Let's add one more verse. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. The Christian who encourages others is missed when he or she is absent. Are you missed when you're not here? Are you dependable? There are members here who demonstrate their spiritual growth in the way they conduct themselves. They serve as examples for us. People depend on them as examples and for their friendship, wisdom, and encouragement, and for their love. People depend on them to be spiritual leaders in the congregation, teaching classes, working with individuals, helping all to grow. And there are some here that just by their mere presence are an encouragement because of their life circumstances and what they mean to each of us. Many of us have not grown to be as dependable as we might like. How could we grow? I would suggest in 2 Timothy 2, 20-22, now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. In other words, we can be useful to the Lord by purging ourselves of sin and replacing it with purity. Then we are useful to the Lord. So let us cleanse ourselves and be useful to our Master, prepared for every good work. I've asked if you would be missed if you're not present. Do people depend on you? If you're one of those who helps others, would you be missed if your seat was empty? If you're one of those who's built up by being present and seeing living examples of true discipleship, would you miss being here if you did not come to worship, to see those examples and to receive that encouragement? I would ask you, are you a helper in time of need? If a fellow Christian needs help, will you offer it? If you're the one person that has the ability to help, would you be missed if you were not there to provide that help? 1 Thessalonians 5:14 and 15 says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as," what? "Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others." Yes, I believe Christians look to the welfare of their fellow Christians. Life is so fast-paced, we need to slow down. We need to remember who we are. We are children of God, servants of the Lord, heirs to the spiritual promises, and we have a spiritual family around us who we need to love, warn, encourage, and support one another with long-suffering at times. We often are made better ourselves by helping others, and the one we help often grows as well. The Christian who can be turned to for help in time of need will be missed when he is absent. He or she. Let me make sure that's clear. As we move toward the end of this lesson, let me ask, if your seat is empty, does this church feel your absence? You know, we each can name some people that have not been able to be with us at times recently. And we certainly have noted that absence, haven't we? God knows our level of faithfulness, friendship, encouragement, dependability, and helpfulness. This is made clear by Hebrews 4:13, which speaks of God's knowledge, saying, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare in the eyes of him with whom we have to do." I assert, I state, I believe your place in this congregation is important. Others count on you. God counts on you to be his faithful servant by serving your brethren. For we read in Matthew 25, verse 40, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Would you be missed if you weren't here? I assert that you would be. We had some missing this morning. Some of them have returned this evening. Some that were here this morning are not able to be here this evening. But if your seat is empty, what's your conclusion about whether or not you would be missed? As we come to the end of the lesson, if you have never become a child of God by expressing your belief in Jesus as the Son of God, confessing your sins and repenting of them, being baptized for the remission of your sins to walk in newness of life, now is the time. If you're a Christian who has the need of the prayers of this congregation, now is the time. Let us be supportive of you. This is the place. Remember, if you miss heaven, you miss everything. Won't you respond as we stand to sing the song?